Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 52 of The Home Hour. This is the show where we talk about parenting, your family life, your home, food, and everything that goes on inside your four walls. I'm your host, Megan Francis, mom of five and creator of the Happiest Home blog, and I'm glad you're here. So today is a very special episode because in honor of Valentine's Day, I am here with my husband, John. Say hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. We're not actually in the same room. We tried to tape in the same room and it was just super awkward and didn't work out. And so we're trying it this way. We are in our own house together, but we are sitting, I'm in my office and John is, I don't know, someplace else in the house right now.
And in the living room.
In the living room. That's what I figured. Okay. So I had this idea a few days ago to talk about marriage and parenting together with John because I talk about John quite a bit on my blog. If you don't read the blog, you might want to go to the show notes for this show and get caught up because we have kind of an interesting history. We've been married a little over 17 years, but we're actually separated and divorced for a while, then got back together and remarried. And now we've been back together for well over a decade and have a really great marriage. But so it's just been an interesting ride and I've written a lot about it. So go to thehappiesthome.com/episode52 if you want to read some of those posts. But today I actually asked for questions from people in our community and our Facebook page. Sarah sent me some questions and I have, so I'm just going to kind of throw these at us. John will take some, I'll take some. I'm sure we'll both have opinions on most. So are you ready, okay. John?
Yeah. Yep. Shoot.
Okay. So first question, this one came in from Sarah. Thanks, Sarah. What do you think is the difference between co-parenting when your kids are babies and toddlers versus when they're school aged and older?
So I can probably start with this. And I think that when the children were younger, co-parenting was more important. Then more recently when they're a little bit older, actually, you know, our kids have gotten kind of sort of self-sufficient in a lot of ways, but, definitely when you're younger, when the kids were younger, we needed probably more help overall in doing it, you know, just day to day.
I think that's true, but it's interesting because when the kids were little, I mean, and anybody who's listening who has little kids or has ever had little kids will recognize the sort of the handoff, the silent handoff, and just how you're juggling everything so much. But don't you think that now it's, I don't know that it's easier or not as necessary. I think
so
it's just
so you disagree.
I disagree with you, John.
Okay.
I think that now it's just more subtle. So I think now the kind of co-parenting that we do is more like we have teenagers. So we'll be looking at, you know, one of their grades, for example, and we have to kind of sometimes instantly get on the same page about things without even knowing.
Right. Well, I think we kind of game plan more now.
Yeah.
Like where before we didn't have to, like, you know, putting a baby to bed or feeding the baby, we don't have to have like a powwow beforehand. Like, okay, we're going to feed this baby. And here's how we're going to do it. And then, okay, let's go in there and do it. Or, you know, something that I've now, a lot of times before we have conversations with the kids or before we make a decision, we usually try to, I guess you're right. In this respect, yes.
Yeah. So
we'll try to get the same or very quickly in the spur of the moment, kind of look at each other and be like, same page? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's just more discussion that goes on. And sometimes it's something really silly. And it's funny because, I mean, when you're not around, John, I can't even tell you, and I don't know if this is the same thing when I'm not around, but how many times I say, wait till dad's home. I'm not going to answer that. Wait till dad's home. I'm not going to answer that because
I just refer everything to you. I just say, ask your mother for everything.
Well,
I don't
they'll,
even, you don't, they come you, to me and I just
see,
say,
this is the problem because then they actually do come to me and then I have to say, actually, I don't want to answer that question. But I find that what ends up happening is they try to divide and conquer and the kids aren't stupid. They know how to make that work. So they know that if they come up to me while I'm busy in the kitchen and I'm not really paying attention and I'm, you know, chopping vegetables or whatever, and they say, hey, can I download this game? I'm a lot more likely to say, sure, whatever, because I don't know what they're talking about. Whereas you know what they're talking about.
No matter what.
Yeah. And you'll, and also I think in every marriage, there's the yes person and the no person.
Yeah.
And the kids know how to work that. I am always like, I'm the yes person and John is the no person. So
yeah, they know that before they even say anything to me, it's already no.
It's going to be no. We just
flat out no.
That's just kind of how we swing. I swing towards yes, John swings towards no. So the theory is that we balance each other out. I think we do. I just think that it takes a lot of, I think it takes a different kind of effort. I think about like parenting little kids, babies, toddlers. I mean, it's just
I think
it's
that
physically
might be
exhausting.
More physically.
Yeah.
together. It seemed like we were, I guess when the kids were younger, especially when we had like the first two, we were kind of always like together doing stuff, you know, where it seemed like it was more co-parenting, but I guess that's just kind of co-raising or co-taking care of, or, you know,
it's damage control at that point. It's like, it's people management, or it's like, you know, cattle herding. So
I guess we're actually parenting now.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. I think that you're right. See, we do agree. It just took us a while to get there. You can disagree with me publicly though. It's okay. So, all right, I'm going to go into the next question.
Sure.
What are some ways, now it'll be interesting to hear your take on this versus mine. What are some ways you guys fall into traditional gender roles in your marriage and household? And what are some ways where you're not as typical? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I think in some ways because I've always worked from home and because you've usually worked outside of the home in some way, even if we're both self-employed. So I spend a lot of time in the house. We both do, but John actually has clients outside of the house that he has to go to, and I just don't have to leave as much.
Right.
So I think we just sort of by accident fell into me doing more of the day-to-day, what I would call traditional woman's work. So the day-to-day cleaning, the day-to-day cooking, the day-to-day, you know, child kind of running around after little kids. That has changed a lot as they've gotten older. And also it's interesting now because we both seem to have more time on our hands just because we're not doing that parenting, you know, juggle like we were talking about earlier with babies, that actually some of the things that you're better at, or you enjoy more or are more suited to, are some of those tradition, like what would be considered a traditional housework kind of thing. And you just kind of like it more than me.
Well,
so
I think
it's interesting.
A lot of the traditional gender role type tasks, I think neither one of us really like doing.
Well, that's true. Isn't that unfortunate?
Like yard work, cleaning garages, taking care of cars, that kind of stuff. I don't really enjoy doing that anyway. So some of the stuff we just kind of opt out of. Like
we don't mow our lawn.
Our yard is
a wreck.
And then some of the other stuff with like traditional women's roles. I mean, I think we've gotten, I mean, the kids do some of it. I kind of jump in. I mean, if we can go over stuff that we do. So I usually do some laundry, usually like the washing and drying phase. And then you'll do like the folding and putting it away phase.
Now that's a new thing. I used to do all the laundry.
Right.
I'm not
that's
even
correct.
Sure how that changed, but you
right.
just sort of took over. Which
well,
has
it's
its
in
ups
the basement,
and downs, right?
So I think it just, that was something you just didn't want to do. So we just kind of split it that way.
Yeah.
So that works out good. And then cooking, you still do the majority of the cooking, but I do some. I don't do anything with dishes usually. I put them away sometimes. I mean, I do yard stuff kind of begrudgingly, you know, maintenance stuff like that. But I mean, I guess what other stuff is there, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, while we're talking about this, I'm realizing how much of now what we do, and it's such a shift from 5 to 10 years ago, is delegating. We don't really do much ourselves anymore.
No,
I mean, I do the dishes stuff. Because I like kind of hanging around the kitchen, listening to music or listening to podcasts. I mean, so that for me, if I'm going to be in the kitchen, I don't really want all the kids in there messing, you know, we don't have a very big kitchen. So like, that's kind of my space. So I make them do the dishes sometimes just on principle.
Yeah.
Or if I really just don't feel it, I don't like unloading. So I'll make them unload.
I think a lot of times I'm more of like a foreman. So
yes,
you
are the foreman.
I'll gather up the kids and get them to like clean the living room. I'll get one kid cleaning, you know, one kid vacuuming all our rugs. And then as soon as he gets done with that, getting him on, you know, doing the like edging, because we get little, you know, edge dust on the wood floors.
Yeah.
And then I'll get another kid, you know, cleaning up the shoe rack or whatever. So I can usually handle, you know, about 4 of the kids at a time and just keep them on task. And we can usually, you know, we can cover a lot more ground without me actually doing anything, but just having them do it, you know, with the 4 boys. I mean, they can knock stuff out quick.
But, you know, it's interesting. You are a foreman, and that's a really good way of putting it. I mean, now we have big kids. Like the other day we came home from school and there was this weird flurry pattern yesterday where all of a sudden we just got dumped on with snow and then it stopped. So by the time the kids came home from school, it wasn't snowing anymore, but there was tons of snow on the stairs. And before I let them get their stuff off, I was just like, hey, Will and Owen, I need you to shovel the stairs and shovel, you know, over by the mailbox and shovel the drive a little bit. And they just did it. I mean, it's not the same thing. Now, 10 years ago, that would have been when we just wouldn't have gotten done. We would have had to hire someone to do it, or I would have pouted until you did it, frankly.
Right.
Which wasn't really a great, I guess, a great, strategy, but it did sometimes work.
It does. Eventually I get the hint and I get to it. But I think, you know, a lot of times our kids do a decent amount of stuff in the house. They don't do tons. Like, they're definitely not overworked, but when they do, you know, especially Jacob and Isaac, they're older. I mean, 17 and, you know, 15 or whatever, they can,
or whatever.
I can.
Wouldn't it be funny if I said, no, actually, that's not how old they are.
How old are they? 17 and 15?
They are 17 and 15.
Okay, thanks. I don't feel bad, you know, getting them on task and working them for a while, you know?
No, either.
Owen and Will, they kind of, Owen's younger, but they have certain tasks they can do. But Jacob and Isaac, sometimes, you know, I'll just get to working them. You know, we'll be in the garage and I'll just have them moving anything and everything, and we can do the whole thing. And last time we did it like in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm just on them the whole time. You know,
now this is, I actually had, I'm sorry to interrupt you, honey, but I want to talk about that really quick, because I just actually recorded a podcast with Mandy Emin from lifeyourway.net. She's got that, I talked about in the last show, she's got a course right now called Live, and it's a year long course. And part of what you get is, bonus podcast content. Anyway, so I was her expert co-host for the month of February, and we were talking about love. And so if you sign up for that class, then you get to hear this podcast, which is really cool. But anyway, we were talking about delegators versus doers. And I was saying how it used to drive me crazy. I try not to let it drive me crazy. I'm not going to say it never does. But I would say something like, John, would you, I guess, sweep, or would you take care of this or that? Because for whatever reason, it was amazing. Like, I would say the words are still like hanging above John's head, like in a thought,
yes,
a talking cartoon balloon. And I'm saying, can you do X, Y, and Z? And then the minute he hears it, he immediately turns to the next kid and delegates it. And I'm sitting there like, I didn't want them to do it. I could have asked them to do it.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm just better at asking them to do it. As soon as you say something like that, I'm just standing there with like a clipboard looking at my roster of who's available to do that task. And then I look and I was like, okay, William's free. All right, William, this is what you're doing now.
I mean, I think some little part of me just wants to see you do it.
Some stuff I do.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying sometimes I think there's a little part of me when I'm cleaning the house, like I'm doing one of my mad, you know, dashes to get the house clean because we have people coming over or whatever.
Yes.
Some little part of me wants to see you working too.
And some little part of me wants me to have you not see me working.
Okay, so now it all comes out. Okay, so well, anyway, I've kind of gotten over it. The little part of me who gets annoyed when you delegate immediately, I've now decided to take that little part of me and use her in more productive ways. But that's pretty funny. Hey, you know, we all have our little passive aggressive tendencies.
What else helps us if we're talking about like the house cleaning type, the topic in general, I think if we continually invite people over to our house, you know, by the time like Thursday and Friday rolls around, we really start cleaning up, and then we whip all the kids into a fury, and then at least we have a lot of the basics get completed, you know, floors and bathrooms and surfaces and all that kind of stuff. So as long as we keep inviting people over to our house, I think that's how.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think that's a common thing. Like having people over is the way to get stuff done. It's the deadline. It's the built-in deadline, because otherwise, why would we clean?
Show up. Yeah.
Yeah. But we also like having people over. So that helps.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, a lot of times, you know, before I would think, oh, you know, it's just, you know, our friends, what are they going to care? But since we've made it kind of, you know, an event, like a cleaning event before people come over, and we've all done pretty good at that. So
yeah, I agree. Okay.
So what do you got next?
Oh, my next question. This is so funny because next time I ask you to do something, I'm totally going to be thinking to myself, he just doesn't want me to see him do this. Okay. Moving on. How do you think, this is a hard one, and I'm happy to take it first if you don't want to, John, but okay. How do you think your older kids would describe your marriage?
Well, I'd like them to think that it's great, I guess. They always see us having fun.
That's true.
We're now, never really arguing, arguing or throwing fits or...
Well, let me throw in my two cents.
Okay, you start.
We bicker. We bicker. But yeah. we're the kind of couple that blows off steam by bickering. Uh-huh. And so there's really never, I mean, I don't know if you agree with this. I hope you do, because otherwise I guess we're reading it completely differently, but you're like, no, we just bicker because we hate each other. I feel like we're the kind of couple where there's never like a cold, you're never going to walk in the room and feel like chilly or like there's something simmering under the surface or there's some kind of cold, front coming in. It's like, right. I get annoyed. We both kind of have a tendency to get annoyed and snap out, to lash out a little bit. And then we just get under control, but we're also very affectionate. So I feel like maybe sometimes they have misread that signal, because I've had Jacob say things like, oh man, you fight a lot. I'm like, no, this is not a fight. This is bickering. Yeah. It's very different. Yeah. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think part of that is just because we spend so much time together.
Yes, we do spend a lot of time.
We really do spend a lot of time. So I think, excuse me, some of the bickering is, it's not like we're just trolling each other constantly, but we can get underneath each other's skin kind of easily just because we're, just hanging around all the time.
Yes. And we're very different. I mean, the way that you and I approach everything is completely different.
But
as far as
I would like to think the kids see our relationship as good. I mean, maybe I'm more hopeful than it actually appears, but I think overall, without trying very hard, I think it looks pretty good. We don't have something just brewing underneath. It's either usually you get frustrated with something, it comes up right away. I'll usually hold on to it a little bit longer, but then I'll, make it known pretty quick, and then it's just over. Once I vent, it's like done instantly as soon as I say something.
I feel like the difference between the way you and I handle conflicts or problems that we're having is that I have to get it out immediately. Like you said, I can't sit on it at all. If that means I have to wake you up in the middle of the night, I'll do it. Like, I just can't. Right. And I feel like you sit on stuff a little bit and then you make a conscious decision whether you're going to bring it up or not. And most of the time I think you decide to let stuff go and I never even know about it. That's kind of how I feel. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
But I think we also resolve things really quickly.
That's true.
Like nothing, if we talk about something or go over something, it doesn't really hang around. Once it's over, it's done. We've moved on even before we've even finished. I mean, if we're talking about something, by the time you even bring it up, it's already fizzling. It's fizzled,
You're right. Yeah, I think you're right. So, I guess if I had to sum it up the way I would want, that I hope our kids, and I do believe that they see our relationship, is that we have a lot of fun together. Absolutely. And with everybody that we have a constant stream of people, mostly the same people. I mean, we're not exactly social butterflies, but we have our close friends and our family that come over, and every weekend we are standing around the kitchen just having a ball with those people, and together every day we have so much fun and we're just having a really good time. And sometimes
we're always have fun with the kids too.
And we're having fun with the kids. And sometimes mom gets mad.
It's kind of ridiculous because we're all either joking or watching something or singing something or dancing around or doing whatever.
Yeah.
But it seems like, I mean, a lot of times nothing against, my parents, but there's a lot of times where I'll think to myself, gosh, I really wish I grew up in this house because it would be super fun. Not because it's that awesome or that great, But you know, just when all the kids are having fun, you know, together. I mean, I had a good relationship with like my brother and sister. It was fantastic. But the way Jacob and Isaac and the boys and Claire will all just be having like maximum fun on any given day just seems like a great time.
Yeah, I agree. It does seem like they have a good time. And I think that trickles down. I think that's one thing, you know, I look at sometimes at our kids and I see how much they all really like each other. And I don't know how common that is or how rare that is. They don't, it's not that they don't ever fight or bicker. Of course they do. They're siblings and, you know, it just so happens that their personalities mesh and they're all just far enough apart in age that they can hang together and have a good time, but they're not all up in each other's stuff all the time, which I think helps.
Yes.
But I think that parents really set the tone for the way everybody relates to each other in the house. And I think the fact that we just get along really well, I really hope, I mean, I guess I can't say for sure. You can never predict exactly what's going to make your
No,
kids act a
yeah.
certain way, but
You
I
just
like to think
do.
that it has an effect.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I don't want to get all braggy and say we this
Well,
household's
no,
like
because
that.
that's the, you
I
know, I'm like madly knocking wood right now because, you know,
know,
that's
I
the
know.
worst, that's the worst way to bring on the bad karma. And it's also just not true. We all know, you know, you can do everything right and your kids can still act out or not like each other or whatever. But in our house, I just like to think that some of the reason that the kids all are having a good time together is because they see us having a good time together and
Yeah, I would too.
enjoying each other.
I
So
would too.
good.
And I think we do. I think everybody here just generally enjoys each other and yeah, we just have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And that can get you through a lot of bickering, which, because we do. I mean, another thing that, you know, we were talking about earlier, like you being the delegator,
Yes.
you thinking about things and me emoting. I mean, we just have, John and I have a very, very similar likes and dislikes, but very different personalities. So in some
Yes.
ways, I think that's good because it's the yin and the yang, and you need it. You need that
Yep.
different way of approaching problems, I think.
Well, plus two, I think a lot of it has to do with, I mean, we've been essentially married for 17 years. So I know when, you know, enough is enough and I should just, you know, whether I don't want you to see me, you know, cleaning something just for the fun of it. I know when it's time to, you know, do a couple tasks
Right, right.
or whatever I'm supposed to do. There's a limit for everything. And we're pretty good at reading each other's limits. You know, I think there was a time where if we went back to like household chores and stuff like that, where you would say something to the effect of, John, you know, can you do the dishes? And I may or may not do them right away. But instead of waiting for me to do them, you would just do them. You know, where you would kind of give up on that fight. And then other times at the same time, I would kind of just give in and just do them, you know. So I think length in time that we've spent together has made a huge difference in both the way we parent together or, you know, the kind of relationship we have. You know, in the relationship we have on the exterior, the one that, you know, our kids see or our friends see or our family see, is pretty much what it is. There's not really, we're the same when people are here and they're, you know, or we're working together during the day
Yeah.
or otherwise. It's the same always.
It is.
And
That's
there's times where
good.
we're, you know, well, we're bicker in front of, you know, family or
I
relatives
know.
or
I was
whoever.
just going to mention that.
And they'll just kind of laugh.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, whatever. And then, but it's not ever anything, you
Well,
know.
there's nothing under the surface. That's such a really good way of putting it because I was just thinking of my brother John, who's with us all the time. He lives half a mile away, and they're over here a lot. And sometimes he'll be like, oh, you guys are making me uncomfortable. But if I got something to say, I'm going to say it. And I don't care if there's guests over because I'm not going to stew. I'd rather just, especially if it's close family, I'm not going to bicker with you in front of, you know, like the pastor at church or whatever. But I'll say, you know, blah, 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 and just get it out. And then you respond. And then it's over. And then we can just go on with our fun. We don't need to revisit it. It's not a big deal. It doesn't stew. I'm not going to spend the whole night angry or irritated or annoyed. So, I don't
I
know.
never.
Our approach might sometimes be looks kind of silly on the outside, but it's you get what you get. What you're getting right now, this is us. This is how we would be, you know, even if there was not, we were not being recorded. So, but
Correct. Yeah.
actually, it's not the next question, but I think I should put this one. I should think I should move this one up because it has to do with us. is how does it work with us both working from home? I know that this is something I know a lot of, I've heard from a lot of people that it is basically their dream that, that they would work from home and their spouse would work from home. And it has a ton of benefits. I mean, we get to trade off everything from getting the kids, picking the kids up in after school, dropping them off in the morning, making lunches. We get to spend time together. If we want to just, you know, ditch work for a little while and go out to lunch or whatever, we can do that. I mean, so there's a lot of benefits to it, but there are challenges as well, for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've both worked from home or been self-employed the majority of the time we've been married. I think overall it would have, you know, a lot more benefits than negatives. I mean, this year specifically is different because all of the kids are at school.
Yeah, this has been so it's totally new.
It's the only time where, I mean, if you look at the benefits from last year compared to this year, last year, a lot of the benefits were I would change some of my schedule and you would change some of your schedule and we kind of split up days. So each of us had like a work day every other day type of deal. So that worked out really well. And then this year, as long as we get the kids to school in the morning, which is a goal, and then we pick them up after school, which is another goal.
Sometimes harder than it might seem, but okay.
Yeah, so as long as we accomplish those two things, in the middle time, we can kind of do whatever we want. So the ways it works out well, I mean, other than being able to spend a lot of time together, is, you know, for me, a lot of times, and I guess you do too, we talk about business a lot, like our own businesses and growing it or developing it or what kind of changes we want to make in it. So we have, you know, we're kind of both working with each other. So, you know, for my job, you help me a lot, you know, help me out a lot with it. And then I also do the same thing for you. You know, we kind of work together and kind of for each other during the day a lot of times.
Yeah, that's totally true. And I guess to the challenges, is that our work patterns aren't always in sync. I think that we both have.
We try.
And maybe we try. But maybe this is one of the reasons why we both gravitate toward being self-employed is that I don't wake up in the morning and have a steady energy. And I don't think anybody really does. I think the whole 8-hour workday is kind of a natural, but a lot of people can just adjust themselves to it and they can work within that. You know, I have to be here for 8 hours, so I'm going to take the work I have to do and I'm going to kind of spread it out and I'm going to work at a steady clip, you know, over the next 8 hours. And I'm more, you know, almost manic at times. I can get an amazing amount of stuff done in one day and then the next day I just want to lay around. I mean, I don't want to do anything. And right. I think we both kind of have those tendencies. And sometimes when it's difficult is when one of us is off, you know, when one of us is in a different energy place than the other, it can be a little. And then sometimes when one of us is feeling a little needy in a way that we want to talk about our business or we want to vent about something and the other person's like, this is great, but I really just got to get this done. I don't want to talk to you right now. I have to sit. So, right. And we don't have separate offices. We have one shared office area that's off of our bedroom and we just work all over the house. So sometimes there's that personal space. I know I annoy you sometimes.
It's fine. I mean, Well, overall, being self-employed, one of the pieces of being self-employed in general is just you have to have tons of self-motivation, you know, constant positive attitude. I mean, if you slip in any of these little areas and you're solely kind of your own company, everything, you know, the whole company really is basically you, save for, you know, maybe people who help out and that, you know, that kind of stuff. And we both have support. But you're kind of driving it and you have to just constantly be driving it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some days where we, you know, either one of us is motivated and the other one's absolutely not, or both motivated and we're both kind of hyped up, or we're both down, you know, a little bit lower motivation or energy. But I think overall, if you look at, you know, by month or by year, I think we've done fair to good at, you know, that kind of stuff, keeping up, you know, either motivation or, you know, you said you were wanted to, what usually happens is when it's difficult is when you'll have like a big idea, like yesterday, you'll have like an idea for something and you'll just want to get it out there and want to go over it. And I was working yesterday, but in Chicago, and I was, you know, really concentrated on stuff. and you're just rattling stuff off, and it's just like, this is just not really the right time. But the good thing is, like today, we didn't really, but both of us didn't have that much, and we could spend some of this afternoon going over it, you know, because it's still fresh, and I'm really interested in what this project is you want to do. So, the good thing is there's always like a next day where we can do stuff, or like this podcast, you know, we planned usually Wednesday is a perfect day to do it. I don't really, it's usually my lightest day, but for one reason or another, it didn't work out. But, you know, Friday comes around and here we can do it. Where if I was working, you know, a traditional job or something, you just may never have the time to do a different thing.
We'd have to be a lot more, we would have to just be a lot more rigid. And I just don't think rigidity works that well for either of our personalities, and that's fine. You know, that's why we do what we do.
Right. And then again, too, we've also kind of always been doing it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I started off.
Well, and that's the other thing we've done this for a long time. I mean, I've been self-employed. You've been self-employed almost since
my entire adult life.
20 years old. And yes. I've been self-employed, for, I don't know, 11 years. So we've been making this work for a long time and figuring it out. And so like, yes, yesterday is a perfect example. I have something brewing, that maybe putting together some kind of live event. And it's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and, you know, a retreat or a small summit, something like that. And I just decided when I woke up, as I do, today's the day I'm going to work on this. Like, this is getting done. So I went crazy, and John's in Chicago, and I've got Google Hangouts open, and I'm just typing to him like, oh my gosh. And then I found this venue, and oh my gosh. And then I'm going to do this, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be so fun. And so,
and I knew. Wait, I sent you like maybe 17 okays or good, sounds nice.
You know, it's funny. I bet you Sarah is listening to this right now, just like nodding her head and laughing, because she's also been on the receiving end of a lot of those kinds of messages for me. But for whatever reason, yesterday I chose you as my target, John. And the thing is that now we just know each other well enough that I know you're not going to respond because you're busy, and that's fine. I just need to get it out. And, and you know, I don't expect a response, so you don't feel pressured. It's just like, this is how we operate. And at the same time, like today, you know, you're talking about your thing that you kind of want to start doing, something a little different.
I do mine a little differently though, where I just pace around and usually just sit in a chair and just kind of nod.
And I'm listening. But then I said, okay, so what are you going to do today? And you're like, well, I don't want to do this today. And so my inclination is like, no, wait, you got to do this today. You had an idea, like work, you know, move on it. Yeah. And you just don't operate that way. And sometimes I think my speed and your steadiness can be a little frustrating for the other, or just, we don't get it, you know, but now we've been doing it for so long that we know that's how it is. So there's no point me trying to drag you into something.
Right. Well, I also think that once we start working on a project together, because we usually end up doing a lot of these things together, whether it's with my business or with your business, that kind of evens itself out too.
Yeah, I think that you're right.
You know, so, you know, when I was talking about my thing this morning, you mentioned, well, why don't you pick three things that you can do on today? I know you don't want to do it today. Like, you're not going to start this today, but do some of the things today while you're activated. To do it.
Caffeinated. I think you were really caffeinated.
I had a cup of coffee and I was ready to go. But I think another part of like working from home is one of the challenges. And I think it's something we've had to actively work on. Is for me, I don't really need as much social interaction, but I kind of get it anyway. Like, I have a lot of clients that I deal with face to face, and they're by kind of design, they're all people I really like and are really good friends with. And, it ends up just being kind of fun. Where you have, it has been more difficult to get that writing from home. And then there hasn't been as much opportunity to kind of get out there. But I think we had to really kind of consciously work on it. But I think a lot of that's kind of getting sorted out, where you've been doing a lot more, at least trying to get out and, or, you know, set up meetings or luncheons or stuff or phone calls, and maybe not even with people that are in your industry, so to speak, or whatever.
Right.
You know,
no,
getting outside
true.
Of what you do.
That's very true. And you know, I have worked, I'm much more extroverted, I think, than you are, and really need that social interaction a lot. But I've been working from home for all these years. And I guess kids, when you work from home, kids are a good distraction. So I would always have someone to take care of someone to fixate on. If I got bored with what I was doing from work, if I got bored with my job and I wanted to get away from the computer for a little bit, there was always something else to do. There was someone to take care of. So there was a lot of that. What kept my sort of crazy brain, you know, really activated was the constant pull, the push-pull. And something about my brain really responds to that. So having someone, you know, having Claire in the other room coloring and knowing that at any moment she could call me and need me would fire me into working harder and getting stuff done. Now there, you know, this year, it's been however many months since September, 4 months, I guess, something like that.
Yeah.
And I went through a little period of kind of being down because it was like, okay, I have this whole day. This has never, literally in my adult life, has never happened to me. I have never had.
Well, we looked forward to it so much. Oh, like, I know. This is going to be like amazing. We're going to have like,
I know,
no kids here all day long.
And then it happened and I was like, oh, but I'm not getting anything done. Because I didn't have, my brain wasn't firing on the same, I guess it wasn't, just wasn't, I wasn't getting the same stimulation or something because I could do anything. So I did nothing and it was a hard adjustment.
I recently, when you went out of town for a couple of days and I dropped all the kids off at school and I came back and I was like, oh, I'm going to do all this stuff. And I sit down and I did all my work like in 45 minutes. And then I was like, okay. So I sat there and then I noticed the house was so quiet. It's like I was drifting off in space. Like it was a vacuum and I had to like
a sensory deprivation chamber.
I turned the dryer on and did some laundry and I put the music on. I was like, gosh, I just have to have something. There has to be more sound in this place. And then I started, I kind of thought of some new things I wanted to do. So I reached out to a couple new clients and did some new estimates and that kind of stuff and found some more work to do. But for a little while there, it was a little too quiet and you just kind of sit there and you get lost.
Well, so you understood a little bit more then.
Absolutely.
Well, and the funny part was that at that point I was off having lunch and my phone starts blowing up and I'm like, God, who is texting me so much? And I look and it's like, it's John all forlorn. Like, hey, what's going on? Hey, what's happening?
How's your trip?
And then you were like, this really sucks. Being home really like all by yourself. It's hard. It's hard to get used to. And especially for someone like me who needs a lot of that social, but we're figuring it out. And I think even the podcasting helps, you know, having conversations with other people and having you around, honestly, having us both here in the house, those days are great.
Absolutely.
Those other days when you're not here, it's like, you know, so. But it's just, I feel like it's one of those things where you just always recognize that, I mean, in marriage, in working together, in whatever capacity, in running the household, it's like you always kind of realize that things will start to shake out over time. Because you can't have the marriage that we have if you've been married for a year. You just can't. I mean, you don't know each other well enough, for one thing. If you don't have teenage kids, probably. I mean, it's just not the same setup that we have. So when people look at us and they're like, oh, it looks so easy and you guys make it look, you know, so simple and fun. It's because it is. I mean, but we put in all those years.
We put in all of those years.
And not to say like our marriage is always, not always, but it most of the time our marriage has been really good and strong and fun and, you know, and loving and all that stuff. But it's like there was still just a lot of crap to wade through.
We went through a lot of crap too.
Yeah. So that actually is a good segue to our last question, which is talk about date nights. And I want to expand on that question a little bit to talk about what date nights mean to us now, what it maybe didn't mean to us 15 years ago when we had little, you know, a toddler and a newborn, and more also just getting away together and spending time together. I think we could talk about this for a while. I have definite thoughts about it. John, do you want to go first or do you want me to start?
Well, I guess I could. Let's see where you go with it. Okay, I'm not really sure what it seemed like you have a plan already.
I do. Well, I kind of just have, I write about this stuff a lot. So this is already kind of top of mind. So two things. One thing that I think we did not have in our early marriage was the idea of a regular date night. And I look back now and I think, could we have used it? Would it have been nice? Yeah, it would have been great. If we'd had a sitter on hand to come take care of the kids, that would have been nice. And it's not like it would have, I mean, it would have been nice to get away with you. It would have been fun, all that stuff. But I feel like the problems that we had really early in our marriage were not something that a date night wasn't going to fix that. A and B, it was never that we didn't enjoy each other's company or didn't know each other or like each other. So I think that sometimes it depends if you have a hard time connecting, maybe you really absolutely need that weekly time away together, 3-4 hours or whatever, just to be together. And I don't feel like that was ever a problem for us. So I feel like it was less important, less crucial, I guess. But I will
was a period of time. There's also a period of time where we didn't do anything.
Yeah. In our 20s, we did not go out. We didn't do stuff.
Travel or go out we did not go out ever. No. So
times that we went out, and we lived in a college town for much of our 20s. And I can count the number of times in my 20s that I was in the bars and restaurants where people in their 20s go, like on one hand or less.
Yeah, same.
Nothing. We hardly ever did that. And once in a while, we'd get out to dinner. We took the kids' places together a lot.
Yeah. Yep,
and that's fine. I just don't feel like, that was never our problem. But now I will say, now that we're in a completely different place and we can just go out whenever we feel like it and we can leave all the kids, we can just be like, hey, we're going out to dinner. Jacob, take over. And we do pretty frequently. It's fun, man. Yep. We've had a good time. But
yeah, we have a great time. I mean, a lot of it too is I think we use that time a lot for like business development type time.
That's true.
And then also or we do kind of like life planning we'll plan the next 2-3 months ahead or talk about kind of what we want to do or kind of get on the same page. So I think it's helpful in that sense now where we kind of know how to use that time now to go over the right things. And then we also then, enjoy it. And then we're out and we enjoy eating food. We enjoy, trying different foods or wines or talking or different restaurants, and that's kind of one of our hobbies, I guess. But back to whatever you're saying, go ahead.
Well, no, it's fine. It's just such a difference. It's such a total 180 from where we were even 5 to 7 years ago. Another thing we should mention too, though, John, is that a lot of the times that we were in our 20s, you were working in other towns and states.
That's true.
And then even when we lived here, when we moved here from Chicago for at least a year, if not more, you were gone in Chicago working sometimes every day, sometimes every night for like a year. Was it that long?
Yep.
So that also made it, a lot less. We just weren't together as much. So when we did
get
together,
it was more difficult.
It was more difficult.
And then the other difference too is since Claire is now, finally 5? She's easy to, she's the youngest one sitting around, and we have a 17-year-old. So we don't have to worry at all. We can just leave or go somewhere and not have to check in necessarily, till later, and we're right here in town usually. So that makes it extremely easy to just go. And then that's a huge part of being able to go out is not worrying about that. So
I agree. Nice. And actually it's funny that you brought up talking about work and family life and kids and stuff. I know that that's one of those cardinal sins. You're not supposed to talk about your kids on dates, they say, but I kind of feel like, I don't know. Our kids are one of our favorite topics. And sometimes it's easier to talk about them when we're out. We can't always talk about them here because they're here and they lurk around. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, we have 5 kids, so it's like hard to get in a conversation without someone. Like last night, this is funny because John came home from work. It was 5. He'd been gone all day. He had like a headache. He didn't feel great. And so I said, Dad and I are going to go in the bedroom. And I just kind of like made a joke, like we're going to have a cuddle or something. And Jacob, who's this big, goofy 17-year-old, comes bounding in after us. He's like, hey guys, can I get in the middle? I mean, so it's like, he's like, can I get a cuddle too? Our kids are dorks and they're around us all the time. And they are eavesdrop and listen in on everything. And they think we're always talking about them.
Tons of privacy here.
No, there's not. Well,
plus when we're together and we're, if we're out to eat or I don't know if it's necessarily considered a date, but I guess it is. you know, it's just a good time to kind of do a review of kind of what's going on. It's a good setting where there's nobody around. We don't, there's no, you know, distractions necessarily. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of go over work stuff real quick. We'll go over like kid stuff in general. There's usually something funny to talk about or something we're thinking about or concerned about or want to change or improve on. And then we'll kind of talk about, you know, what we want to do coming up, and then we'll go into, you know, whatever else we're going to talk about, because we usually talk kind of a lot anyway.
That's,
you know,
the other thing, we're always talking.
It's not like we have nothing to talk about, but we always have something to talk about. But
there have been times though that we've gone to dinner and we've sat across from each other and been like, well, maybe we shouldn't have talked so much already today, because kind of low on material now. We always come up with something. But
it just has worked out to be a good setting for us to kind of go over things, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and another thing is, I think that one thing that's different about the last maybe 2, 3, 4 years that we didn't, that we do now more that we didn't used to do really at all ever, is go out with other couples, go out with other people, and, you know, go out with them away from kids. We used to spend a lot of time hanging out with our families, and that was always fun with kids running around, but there's something different about being out with other adults, and it changes things up. It changes up the conversation. It gives you other experiences to talk about later. I mean, it's just interesting, and it's something that we didn't do a whole lot when our kids were littler. And I do think that, I guess if I could go back in time and change one thing, I wouldn't necessarily add in a date night, you know, if that was too hard to work out, but I might've had us have other couple friends or just more mix things up more regularly. Because I can remember a few times that we did that and how much fun we had, and thinking, oh, I wish it could be like this all the time. And it could have been. We could have been doing that more often if we had
That's been one of the huge changes. And travel. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, we don't do overseas travel or anything crazy, but we do, you know, travel a lot. And there's a lot of places in the Midwest we've gone, and with family or without family or with friends or whatever. And a lot of it just has to do with scheduling and then budgeting and saving and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Makes it very doable. And a lot of times it's just for one night. And that's made a huge difference. I mean, having those things to look forward to and plan on and plan for.
Absolutely.
Both with us and or without the kids, or just you and me, or with other friends, has been a huge change.
It has been.
So, and we've been to a lot of clever, fun places in the Midwest with the kids, and it always seems to be fun. And then you and I have taken other trips, and for your work and for my work, we both have had a lot of travel kind of baked in.
Yeah.
So we've been lucky in that sense. But other little trips, I mean, a lot of it is just really picking a date, and then the further away you kind of choose, generally the cheaper it is. So you know, plan, saving,
get on the calendar, and that sometimes, and the thing is, like, we've planned plenty of things where we weren't even really sure, hey, what are we gonna do with the kids? It always works out in the end. We always manage to pull something off. But I think there's often that hesitation, and I know I had it, especially when I had like little nursing babies and toddlers and stuff. I mean, it felt like a lot of upheaval to leave them and a lot of hassle, and it is, but that's something that's definitely changed over the last 10 years. Especially the last like 5, but 10 years in general, we've both had our own things that we're working on separately and together. And I think that made a huge difference for us in our marriage.
Especially with like, you know, traveling with young children is kind of at first difficult and maybe a little frantic, or depending on where you're going or what you're doing. But sometimes the more you do it, you know, you kind of relax and you kind of get more comfortable with it. I mean, we've kind of always been the people who, for one reason, you know, we're the people without like even a diaper bag, for goodness sakes, or diapers or anything. We just show up and just are freestyling.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of speaks to just being very comfortable traveling with children and just kind of just very low stress.
Yeah, not overthinking, you know? Everything.
There's not overthinking, not over planning, not over anything, just being really relaxed, kind of everybody just having fun and, you know, planning stuff that we know we can do, planning stuff that we know the kids will kind of enjoy, and not trying to kind of push the limits,
but, and not packing the itinerary too full.
Yeah, and I think the more often you do it, even like little short day trips or one night trips, overnight trips, or things in your area and stuff, makes a huge difference. And then your kids get used to traveling, and then they know what to expect. You know, they start enjoying car rides or planes or whatever. I think that makes it easier too. So the more you kind of travel, the easier it gets, you know.
Agreed.
At least it has for us.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So we have to start wrapping up. This has been, I know we both had some hesitations about doing this show, but I think it was great. I had a lot of fun. Did you? I hope you had fun. I purposely stayed away from.
Yeah, I'm still having fun. I didn't.
You're having fun actively right this minute? Wow, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
Actively having fun. Well, I have to edit it. So if there's anything I don't like, I'll just yank it.
Take it out.
Yeah.
That's when the editor's prerogative, I guess. Sure. There, I did purposely stay away from asking questions of a sappier nature because I just didn't figure John would really love that. But I do wonder if you had like one piece of marriage advice, because I brag about you a lot. I think you're a pretty fantastic husband, I have to say. You know that. Stop it. You know I brag about you all the time.
Stuff, really.
No, I brag about you to my friends. I mean, I brag about you on social media.
Oh,
too,
okay.
Mostly just in real life.
Sure.
But you know, you've put in the time and you've gotten a lot of the stuff figured out. So I have to ask, if you had to give a piece of marriage advice, I know this is really tough, to someone who is having kids for the first time, not just getting married for the first time, because that's being married without kids. I mean, we don't even really remember what that was like. It was a very short period of time for us. And I don't know. I don't remember it anyway, but being married with kids, that's definitely something that you could speak to. So do you have any advice?
Well, let's see.
Other kind of married dads.
Spot here. I mean,
oh, I'm sorry.
A lot of times, you know, I kind of joke about not doing things, or, you know, I think you do too, kind of razz me about, you know, not either helping out with some things or whatever. And I have it fairly easy in a lot of ways, but I think if I would give some advice is to kind of, you know, be proactive. You know, you don't always have to wait for something. I know that, you know, a lot of times when we first would have kids, and like my sister has a new baby, and you know, when we had a baby, you know, a diaper would need to be changed, or clothes need to be washed, or something needs to be done. And you know, you change 6, 7, 8 diapers in a row, and you kind of look at, you know, your husband or wife or whoever it is, and you think, oh, can you get this one? And a lot of times if you just do it and you just keep doing it and you kind of are proactive about it, it just makes things a lot easier. It just, there's a lot less tension. I mean, you can kind of split up tasks and kind of stick to it. But a lot of times if you kind of take the first step and do something to get it done, it just gets done and then you don't have to worry about it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily like a competition. I mean, I know it's easy for me to say in this relationship because I'm kind of winning that battle where I know I'm usually doing less, but there's times where I purposely and use intent to just do stuff, you know, just get stuff done.
To get on top of it. I think that's something that you figured out with time too. I don't think that it was necessarily that way early on. And I think that moms often the inclination is just to do it.
Yeah.
Just to do it. And then to be mad about it.
Yeah.
And that was definitely my inclination. And yeah. I didn't always give you an opportunity to do it either. You know, sometimes I would just jump the gun and be like, well, he's not going to do this, so I'm just going to do it. And then I'm going to stomp my feet about it. Not literally, but you know, right. Just to kind of throw a little internal martyr hissy fit. And so giving him the space to do stuff and then you actually taking the ball and going and running with it, yep. And actually doing the stuff that I was hoping that you would do in the first place.
Yeah.
That does make a big difference. It does make a big difference. And if I could say one other thing, that I think makes a big difference for me, and it's that everything doesn't have to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's not. Probably in our marriage, like you said, if you took everything that we do and you divvied it up right down the middle, I probably still do significantly more around the house than you do.
Yep.
And that's fine. I mean, I accept that. I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But you do the things that you know make the difference to me.
Right.
So, for example, John almost always gets up and drives the kids to school in the morning. Yep. Almost always. Because you know, women got to get up and like, I got to put my contacts in. I have to put a bra on. It's just like a way bigger deal for me. And I don't want to. I just really don't want to.
I just wake up, slip and on so, and then boom, I'm good.
Yeah. John throws his Uggs on and goes. And I mean, to just to know that's off of my plate makes the fact that I do the dishes every single night and all that well, other stuff, plus, I don't also, really care. It's just, it makes it all feel it may, more it, even. It
kind of be like cheating, but I mean, I also kind of like cherry pick things that I know will have slightly more weight than effort.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think I that's cheating. I think it's smart.
I can make you breakfast in bed, which I've perfected.
He does a lot.
Time-wise. And it's really quick. It's really easy. But it's something I know you like. And I know that that buys me like X amount of other stuff I don't like doing. Or, you know, right. or stuff similar to that, you know.
It just, you know, it just like I keep thinking of the corny psychologist, I think it is anyway, phrase about filling the well or filling the cup or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's true because when you do little nice things for me, like things that you know that I don't want to do, like get up first thing in the morning and make my own breakfast or get up and drive the kids to school or whatever the little things are. I know that if I ask John to run out to the store for me at night at 8:30 at night and get me a candy bar
yeah.
or something, whatever, I know you'll do it. Yeah. And that's like the last thing I want to do at 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
So just knowing that it just adds a little something and it makes my life better. So then I don't really care about the rest of it. I guess that's what I mean. It's like those little acts, those little nice things, those little acts of service, really make a big difference in the end. And it doesn't have to be completely 50-50. I don't think that that's realistic anyway. I mean, I just think that that's kind of, and I'll have links to a lot more of my thoughts about that kind of stuff in the show notes. But
well, we've
just
actually,
like division of household
There's
labor.
Like a lot of times where we've tried to split up a lot of stuff 50-50. And it's just really difficult to like, these are your jobs and these are your jobs.
And frankly, sometimes I just feel like you're in my way.
Well, yeah.
And, you know,
I suppose.
It's hard to take a job and split it right down the middle.
Right. Right. I mean, a lot of times, you know, one person's not available to do it or it's not right. being done a certain way. So, yeah, that's difficult to do.
So we really do have to wrap up now, hon. This has been very fun.
Okay.
Again, if you want to check out the show notes, they are at thehappiesthome.com/episode52. Thanks so much for listening to our special Valentine's Day episode, everybody. We'll be back next week, or I'll be back next week. And John, tell everyone goodbye and sign off.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, Megan. Good job.
Yeah, it's been fun.
All right. Okay. Goodbye.
Go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 52 of The Home Hour. This is the show where we talk about your life, your family, parenting, food, family, and everything that goes on. And did I say family twice? I think I said family twice. Anyway, everything that goes on inside your four walls. I'm your host, Megan Francis. I'm a mom of five and creator of the Happiest Home blog. And today we have a very special episode. I am here with my husband, John, in celebration of Valentine's Day. I have to admit, I had this idea to do a show together like 3 or 4 days ago, and he said he would do it. And then we found all kinds of ways to stall because I think maybe he's not that into it. But you know what? I'm going to make him do it anyway. I have some questions that I got from Sarah and readers and people on our Facebook page that I think will be fun to answer. And you know what? If this show stinks, then don't let that cloud your opinion of the rest of the show. Listen to other episodes too, but I think this is going to be fun. So before I ask these questions, I wish you could see John's face right now. Before I ask these questions, I want to give you a little background. So for those who don't read the blog or are just kind of getting caught up, John and I have been married for over 17 years. We got married very young, and we actually split up, divorced, and remarried at one point very early on in our marriage. I will link to some posts about that in the show notes, which will be at thehappiesthome.com/episode52. But now we've been, you know, happily back together for over a decade, well over a decade now, and things are great, and we have a lot of interesting opinions about marriage and everything else. So I'm going to start with, hey, honey, say hi.
Hello. I'm ready.
Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to ask the questions and then we can just kind of take turns going back and forth.
Okay, great.
Okay. So question one is, what do you think is the difference between co-parenting? So I guess parenting as a team when your kids are babies and toddlers versus when they are school aged and older. Should I take that one?
You have to repeat the question again.
Okay. Okay. In the form of, can you give me the answer in the form of a question? Okay. So what do you think is the difference between parenting together with babies and toddlers versus older kids?
Well, I think parenting younger children and toddlers and babies probably is more of a team effort, because it takes more people to... This is failing. This setup is just failing.
Okay.
We can't sit in the same room and do it.
You're right.
We just can't do it this way.
Okay.
Because we're like talking to each other.
I know, it's silly. Do you want to just start all the way over from the beginning?
Oh, probably.
Okay. Do you want to say scrap it and not do it?